Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, as well as missionsradio.org and liveleadplay.com. Go to parentpumpradio.com to leave your questions, comments, and suggestions for future shows, and subscribe to our RSS feed so you'll be automatically notified of new shows. So thank you for joining us on our new segment of our radio show called Teen to Parent Talk. And I've gathered some of the most amazing 18 to 23-year-olds who will not only be sharing with you, the parent, their insights, advice, tribulations, hopes, and dreams, but they're also going to be giving the same to our teens. So we'll be talking to these young adults about everything from social media to substance abuse to mental illness to divorce to dating and the stress they're getting from school and all around them. No stone will be unturned. No subject is too much or too little. My goal is that these young adults will be bridging the gap between you and your kids to create the beautiful, harmonic, deep, and meaningful family you're working towards creating. They say that statistically, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. So about every 13 seconds, there's a divorce in America. Why are people divorcing? 73% say that it's a lack of commitment. 56% say they argue too much. And psychologist Judith Wallerstein followed a group of children of divorce from the 1970s to the 1990s, interviewing them at 18 months and then at 5 years old, at 10, at 15, and 25 years after the divorce. She expected to find that they would have bounced back somehow, but what she found was dismaying. Even 25 years after the divorce, these children continued to experience substantial expectations of failure, fear of loss, fear of change, and fear of conflict 25 years later. So our talk today is going to be about divorce from the children's point of view, and we're going to hear directly from a teen about his thoughts, his feelings, and his triumphs. Now, this is obviously one perspective and one point of view, but at least you get an idea directly from children's perspective and the young adults of what it felt like. So our guest today is 19 years old. He's currently attending El Camino College. He's a certified physical fitness trainer and comes from a family of 5 brothers and sister and 1 stepsister. He's also played soccer since he was 5 years old. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Lucas Keisha. Hi, Lucas.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. This is your first year in college, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's pretty exciting.
Are you adjusting well?
Yeah, especially because I did go to Maricosta. So it's right down the street. So everyone that didn't go off to college attending either Santa Monica or El Camino is still around. So it's pretty nice.
And is the schoolwork an easy transition for you?
Yeah, I think that's funny because I was actually talking to my friends about that also went to Costa. And I think that the reason why it's easier for us to transition is to the college level is because Costa is known for their strong academics. So the workload at Costa is, I think, it was a lot more at Costa than it was at El Camino. So I think that's what made the transition even better.
Okay. Have you declared a major?
I did at the beginning of the semester, but I'm thinking about changing. So I'm in the middle stages. I was going to do kinesiology, but then after this last semester, I realized that I do like kinesiology, but I don't like it as much as communicating with people. So I was thinking maybe a communications degree and like figuring out what sect of communication later, but focusing on communications. Still haven't made a clear decision yet, but I'll get there.
You have plenty of time, just so you know. Don't worry.
Yes, I do.
Enjoy it.
I will.
You know, unlike other children of divorce who had to go through being with their parents and hearing a lot of the arguing in the marriage and experiencing it maybe through their younger years, 6, 7, 8, or maybe into the teens, something happened differently with you. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, like you said, I've had a very different and very lucky, actually, experience for my parents' divorce. I was born, technically it was before they got divorced, but it was 3 weeks after I was born. So it was like, I really never had the image of them being together compared to other people where their parents probably divorced at what, 12 years of age. So they remember the divorce and the heartbreak that they experienced and their parents experienced. So yeah, I've had a very, like I said, a very lucky experience because I never really had that image. But afterwards is where it affected me, but it didn't affect me as much as it might have for other people because I was at such a young age. I didn't really know what was going on.
So tell me, if it didn't affect you that much, what made you decide that you want to actually talk about it?
What made me decide to talk about it was mainly two things. One was, even though it didn't affect me as much as other people, it did for other people, it still did affect, if that makes sense. Like, I still never experienced my parents ever being together, never experienced them say, like, I love you or I appreciate being around you. So I never got to hear that. I guess, obviously, I got love, but, like, a love between, like, I never got something to look up to. Like, I never got looked up to my dad saying, like, I love you to my mom. Now I do because he recently got married. But the other reason why I chose the subject was mainly because of school, because my question was mainly about how does divorce affect your schoolwork and your school life. And that was the reason why that was, is because the first thing I experienced was in regards to school was the divorce and like how it affected me transitioning into school life, because I obviously did live at two different houses.
So how did it affect you with your school life then?
Mainly it was just, and thankfully my parents only lived maybe 2 miles apart. So the driving back and forth didn't really have that much of an impact, but it did because the schedule was Sunday night till Wednesday morning, I would stay with my mom and then the other time with my dad. So if you had, let's say you were going to school Wednesday and you forgot a book at your mom's and you get home and you think it's at your dad's and it's not there, so you have to make an extra trip, and obviously at that age you couldn't drive yourself, so waiting for your dad to come home to take you over there, and it just, you know, it delayed the time that I could have had to dedicating it to my homework. Just living in two houses, like, so you have two of everything basically. Like, you have a set of clothes at your mom's that you could obviously interchange your dad's, but you can't have all your things at one place, which they feel like families that have their parents together, it's a lot easier for them because everything's at one spot. You don't have to worry about like, oh, it's at the other house, or you know if you lost something, for example, you know it's at that house or at a friend's house. But if you have a divorced parent, like, oh, I need to go look at the other house. So that was mainly my idea of how it affected me. You know, obviously getting the question like, oh, your parents are divorced, I'm so sorry, like, no, I don't need to hear that because, like I said, I've had a different experience. Like, when I grew up, my parents didn't yell at each other all the time. There was a little argument, but they never really got in a heated fight to the point where I needed to be scared.
So you talked about having the two homes and two of everything. It might be kind of cool to have two of everything. What I'm hearing, there was also a little maybe an annoyance or something. So tell me about that.
I won't say it's annoying because that sounds like I'm don't like it, but at the same time I do, because like, you have, if you have different set of clothes at different houses, like, you have a whole new wardrobe, you know. But it was kind of annoying because like, if you wear that thing at your mom's that you like and that she bought it, so she wants it at her house, and you go to your dad's like, I really want to wear that, but it's at my mom's, so I need to go to my mom's to get it. So it was a minor annoyance, even though I'm 19, like, I still go back and forth compared to my brother and sister. They started staying at one house completely when they're like 16, I think. My dad and mom give them a choice, like, you can choose which house to live at. But for some reason, I kept going to back and forth, mainly because I obviously want to see both my parents. So yeah, it was a minor annoyance, but I've gotten used to it at this point.
Besides having to go back and forth each house, what other challenges came up from being a child of divorce?
Another challenge would be, at first, it was explaining, like, everything that happened, because obviously, like you did, like you said during the bio, like, I have a big family. So even explaining that and just adding on, I have divorced parents. First, it was like, I felt people were going to judge me, and like, you know, it does suck, but it's what makes you unique in a way. That was mainly another struggle I had. But other than that, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't think there was another challenge.
How did you overcome that challenge, having to explain?
I just brushed it off. I mean, I might as well just live with it, or just don't have it bother me. That's ultimately what I had to do. Like, I didn't care. Like, if someone coming up to me is like, oh, are your parents together? I'd flat out tell them, like, I'm divorced. They're divorced. At first, I did take it offensively. But after that, I was like, no, people are just curious. And they want to, for some people, if they've never heard their friend having divorced, and the first time they hear it, they're surprised. So it was more like me helping out everyone else to have divorced parents. So if one person A went up to person B and asked, and the person B had divorced parents, they wouldn't get the same reaction that I did.
You said you have 5 brothers and sister, right? Including yourself, or 6 including yourself.
I have 6. Yes. I have 1 stepsister.
Okay.
And technically I have 3 half brothers, 2 half brothers and 1 half sister. So I only have 2 siblings that are straight from my dad. We all have the same mother.
Okay.
Except for the stepsister.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how old were you? How old was your brother and sister when the divorce happened?
My brother just turned 6. And then my sister, she was 4 years old when the divorce happened.
So it's 6, 4, and then you're basically a newborn
when
all this happened. Have you spoken to your brother and sister about their challenges and how they overcame the divorce?
I never really had that talk. I might have had it when I was younger, but I just witnessed stuff through their actions and how their response mm-hmm. to the divorce. I never like actually sat down and talked to them. But my brother was at 16. He basically moved out of my mom's and stayed at my dad's full time. And then sister, I think she was 18 or 17. I'm not sure, but that was pretty much the only. I never had the talk with them. It would be interesting to have a talk with them actually.
From your point of view, do you think that it affected them differently as opposed to you?
I definitely do, because obviously them wanting to live at one house, they weren't used to it when they're little. They were at one house. But I realized that it did affect them because they both went out of state for college and they both said, like, I can't wait to get out. Maybe that's the environment. Maybe it's the LA environment, or maybe there was a divorced household. I don't know. That was my guess. Because, like I said, I never really had to talk with them.
But you noticed that they both wanted to go out of college. They wanted to get away where you stayed nearby.
I don't want to go out of state. My dream school would be UCLA. And that's relatively close.
So in a way, then, for you, because you didn't experience the pre-divorce stuff, it sounds like it was better off for you, your life and your challenges and any issues that came up, as opposed to someone that had to go through all that pre-stuff and the whole divorce process.
Yeah, I was actually, it's total different. Like, for example, my uncle actually just recently got a divorce as well. And just looking at my cousin, they never had to have the divided house. My aunt just moved to another state, and then my uncle stayed at the house that they've been living in since 2005. So they never really had a divided house. They always had one house. So it was just interesting to see the contrast.
Okay. Now let's go back to school. Was your schoolwork affected at all in any way because of the separate household?
When I got older, it did, mainly because I became lazy. Like, there would be a book at my mom's, I need some homework, and I'm at my dad's tonight. So, and I would just, like, especially when I got to the driving point, I was just like, you know what? I wanted to drive for the longest time, but once I got my license, a little bit after that, I didn't want to drive anymore. So when that happened, I got really lazy. And I didn't want to drive over to my mom's, even if it was only 5-minute drive. Like, I don't know. I was as a friend to send it to me, you know. Yeah, so that would be the only effect. I think my homework slipped a little bit, but it got better once I got to college.
Now, was that just kind of a teenage rebellion, trying to find where you sit in this world and what kind of power and control you have of yourself?
Yeah, exactly. It's a fair question. I get it. I think it's probably the teenage laziness and rebellion. Yeah, if I was younger, I'll probably be like, okay, I need this. But since I hit my teens, I was, you know what, I have friends. Because, you know, that's the age where everyone has phones. Like, I didn't get my first phone until I was 9, but I didn't have texting until I was 13. So that was, like, the start of teenage year. So I was like, I could just text my friend and be like, hey, can you send me the picture of the math textbook, you know, et cetera. So, like, it wasn't a need to have the book with me at that time. But before that, yes, it did affect.
Now, you mentioned that when your sister or your brother was 16, your parents let them decide where they wanted to go.
Yeah.
Now, before that, when you were younger, was it pretty easy for you to say, Mom, I want to stay at Dad's longer, or go to Dad and say, I want to stay at Mom's a little bit longer?
Well, seeing as my brother is 6 years older than me, so when he was 18, I was, oh God, here comes math, 12. So I think I was even a teenager then. So I think that was the starting point of noticing that my mom was more lenient about it, made me realize that maybe I can get away with it. So growing, like, the teenage years, definitely it was more relaxed. But the years before that, it was straight, like, they both wanted their time, you know. And of course my mom wanted to see my siblings more, but they had the option and they chose to go stay at my dad.
So you're saying before you were 12 years old, your parents wanted their time, so you didn't have much choices if you wanted to stay at one more than the other.
Yeah, because as a 12-year-old, my mindset was like, I'm not going to get away with it because my siblings aren't getting away with it. So why would I even try? But once,
okay.
Yeah. So once my sister started doing it.
So they paved the way for you to go, now I can try.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think it was when my sister started to say more time on dad's or more time on mom's. I was like, okay, I can get away with it. That's when I really started using it.
You say you started using that around 12 because your brothers and sister are now reaching the 16, 17-year-old, and you're kind of following in their footsteps. What made you decide on, hey, I want to spend more time with mom or dad? Like, what was the deciding factor for you?
I never really thought of that, now that you brought it up. My guess would be, I really believe in equal fairness. I never really leaned one way or other for which house to stay at. Like, right last night, I was at my mom's house, and tonight, I was at my dad's house. The schedule, like Monday, Wednesday, it flew out the door once I turned 18. I used my own mind. I was like, okay, so how many days did I spend at my mom's? How many days did I spend at my dad's?
So now I'm going to go back to when you were 12, when you had more of a voice to tell your parents, like, hey, this is who I want to stay with longer. I want to stay a little bit longer. How would you bring that up? And were you a little nervous that you might hurt the other feeling?
Yeah, I was, because my mom really got hurt when my brothers and sisters wanted to stay more at my dad's. She was really hurt. So I was like, when it was my turn to like say, hey, at the beginning, I was supposed to be at my dad's house, but I was at my mom's. And I was like, can I stay here? And they were both like, they're fine with it. And then it got to the point where I was like, I would tell them, like, I'm staying at mom's or I'm staying at dad's. I was hesitant at first.
Your mom felt a little bit sad that your brothers and sister were choosing their dad. So was there a little guilt as to why you want to stay with your mom more, to kind of even that out? Or was it was just exactly what you wanted? That was your choice.
It was probably both. It was mainly wanted to be fair to my mom. Like, she obviously, it's going to, especially since I'm the youngest after six kids, like, I'm guessing she would either want me to leave or want me to stay because, you know, I'm the last one. So I think it was more on the guilt side. I really, like I said, I like to try to be fair and spend time equally at each house. So it was probably more the guilt.
Yeah. You turn into the middle child.
Yeah, I really did. I really did. Even though I'm the youngest. Yeah, that's interesting. I never heard of that.
Yeah, the middle child, try to keep everything balanced and copacetic. And
I really am. Like when my siblings are fighting, I'm usually the middleman. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming a new rule, I guess.
What do you think, what are some of the major issues facing this era in our day and age that you see happening with your peers?
Are you asking, like, why do I think more divorces are happening?
No, okay, so you probably have many friends that are divorced, yeah, right? That parents are divorced. So you coming from a divorced family in a different way, right? What are you seeing your friends and even family members? What do you see as a major issue with them in this area?
I have a lot of divorced friends I have friends that have divorced parents. That's what I'm trying to say. And each one has a unique situation. Like, one of my friends, her dad lives in Manhattan Beach and her mom lives in San Pedro. And she went to school in Manhattan Beach. So obviously she stayed the weekdays at her dad's, and then the weekends she would go to her mom's house. She was fine with it. The only reason why she didn't like going to her mom's was because she didn't go to school out there, so she had no friends. But other than that, and then another friend, he lived at his mom's full time. And I think he liked it. I think he wanted to be at his mom's full time. So it was interesting to see that contrast to me, where, especially because him and I are the same age, and he wanted to stay at one house, where I was like, oh, I don't mind staying at two houses. And then I have another friend where they were just like me. They had to go to two different houses and spend time at both houses. So it was kind of nice having someone that connect with me, where I had to go to both houses instead of, you know, living at one.
So how do you think people of your age group and maybe even younger that you notice, how do they cope with some of these major issues that come up with divorce?
I have a girl cousin and a guy cousin within this divorced marriage that just happened. The male cousin, I feel like he shut people out. He didn't want to talk about it. Like, he pretty much ignored it. And whatever their parents thought, he was like, I'm not getting in the middle of it. You guys feel it, figure it out, because that's your problem, not mine. And then my other cousin, his sister, she was more involved. She was trying to dispute between them, and she was put in the middle, basically. So it's interesting to see the contrast where my parents were never really involved us in, compared to another part of my family, my cousin, where their parents really involved them.
What advice or words of wisdom would you give to the parents of today who are going through divorce?
I would say, from my perspective, just based off of my parents' divorce, like, obviously you want to love your kids as much as possible. But if they want to go visit their, unless there's obviously legal reasons why they can't go see one parent or the other, like, obviously let them go see their other parent. And don't be mad when they want to go see the other parent, because that's how they're connected to the other side. So that's one piece of advice. The other piece of advice is just don't bring your kids into it and leave it really neutral. Don't talk about the other partner. Don't be like bringing the other partner down. At one point was your husband or wife. They don't need that. They don't need to see that. They need to see the connection. Even though if you guys lost love for each other, at least you guys are friends. So I feel like a lot of divorces these days, they end violently and their kids are brought in the middle. And unfortunately, they're forced to cope with what their parents are putting on them. And it's really interesting to see the differences in everyone's divorces, because like you said at the beginning, there's 50% marriages today end in divorce.
Yeah. And 40% of children see their parents divorced.
Exactly. So that's, even though it's less than 50, it's still a lot. And that's a lot of kids getting affected, yeah. Especially if it's happening at a young age, it's going to affect them until they're like 25 or even longer. And it's probably going to affect when they get married. Kids of divorced parents either want to make sure it happens or not be afraid if it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So next question, what advice or words of wisdom would you give to the kids in high school, junior high, that are going through parents divorcing?
Love your parents. And whatever the situation is and why they got divorced, ignore that. You know, the parents need the kids to be there for them and love them just like they're loving the kid. So I think like the connection is important, especially when the divorce is happening, because when you're getting divorced, you feel like crap. Yeah, especially when you have kids, feel like you feel like you failed them. And having that reassurance from your kid, like, oh no, you're not a failure. You know, this happens. And like, they can like helping the parents make sure they're on their feet and not turn like into depression or abuse other things. And just, it's like a team almost. You guys are still a team, even though the other parents, you know, not involved.
That's great. What's been your greatest success through all this experience?
My greatest success?
Yeah.
Probably not letting it bother me. I would say that's a big, big, big accomplishment that I've had. Is not having it affect me or change my views on the other parent. Basically staying neutral and not letting it affect me to the point where I'm turned to abusing drugs or to depression or other things. And I'm very lucky and very happy that I did not let it affect me to that point.
And how did you do that? What were the steps that you think you did differently that didn't affect you in that way, where you turned to substance, drugs, and alcohol, where other children from this trauma did?
I realized that my parents are never going to get back together. So, and I started becoming more independent, I think. So I started focusing on more important things like school. And at that time, which is still true today, like soccer and friends. Like, obviously, like if your parents are divorced, you want to make sure you have a good relationship with your friends. Just in case something happens, you need an outlet. So I think I was more independent that way of like finding my own ways to cope with it. Also making sure I don't turn to those alternatives, if I guess you could say.
Yeah, because it's easy in high school. Oh, it's definitely all very accessible.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's something we can talk in another show, how alcohol and drugs are so easily accessible to the teens. So it sounds to me like you did sports, you said, and you turned to school and you turned to friends for the friendship and obviously the support. That sounds like a strategy that you use.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to focus on your parents, trying to get them back together.
Yeah, it was also because, like you said, like especially in the recent years, there's been a lot of divorces. It's kind of easier, actually, to relate to someone else. Especially all my siblings, they all have divorced parents. So that's also a plus. It's horrible at the same time, but I have someone else to go to.
That's why we have AA and, you know, all these support groups. People come together and they know what the other person's feeling. So in a way, what you're saying is you kind of created your own support group that with friends who had similar experiences.
Yeah, almost. It wasn't like a typical AA meeting where you go and you state the problem and all that.
No.
Yeah, definitely not. It was more like a general understanding, like, oh, your parents are divorced. Oh, we're not too. And then like, there's a connection. I don't think I've ever, except for my really close friends, like a random stranger, like, oh, your parents are divorced, mine are too. Like, I don't think we ever like went deep into it. It was more like, you know, a general understanding, like, I know what you're going through. Like, you're chill, you know?
Yeah. And that's like that. And that's what's so cool, because you don't even have to talk about it. And you guys have very similar feelings without even having to verbalize it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what's really nice. So I'm almost hearing that that could be a really good strategy for children of divorce, that instead of isolating themselves, reach out to other friends in their school that maybe have gone through divorce and hang out together. Do things together.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think that would be a great idea. And obviously, I keep going back to the statistic because it just rings true in my head, that especially because compared to elementary school and now, like, I've known a lot of people, parents or kids that have divorced parents. So it's like, it's a lot easier compared to what my brother or sisters might have went through when they were young. Especially my oldest sister, she was born in the 70s, where like decade was, you know, the whole Reagan administration, like family values. A lot of parents were still together, and she didn't have parents that were together.
Yeah.
So during that time, it was probably a lot harder on her compared to my immediate brother and sister above me.
Yeah.
And how it affected us.
So we're talking about activities, social circle, everything that's the opposite of isolation and keeping to yourself.
Yeah, basically.
To get through this and come out where you're not traumatized in some way.
Exactly, yeah. I feel like the divorce has like a spell almost. Like once the parents are broken, then it like trickles down onto the kids and they feel isolated because their parents are divorced. But like having those outlets are definitely what would get rid of the, so to speak,
So for the younger kids, maybe in the junior high where they don't have as many choices to go, you know, they don't have a car to drive to. So a word for the parents, I would say, is if you're one of the divorced parents, reach out to other parents to create play dates so that your 12, 11, 13 year old has that outlet and have extracurricular activity. And then once they get to high school, it sounds like they have a lot more independence and choice, and then they can now reach out into their own peers and create that. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. And then, like I said earlier, like, just talk to your kids more. And if you're going to talk to the ex-spouse, don't make sure the kids are around to hear you if you guys do get an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because hearing your parents argue, it's not something that's a good feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess you could say.
Like you said, I mean, you might not like your spouse, but for your children, that's their mom and dad. They're not going to choose the sides, and they love you both the same. So when you put them in that position and they feel uncomfortable, that only creates more havoc.
Exactly. And the kid sees his dad yelling at his mom over the phone when he gets married, he might think that's normal.
Yeah.
And it'll lead to a toxic relationship with his wife, and it'll just trickle down. It'll continue. So I think it's a good, I guess you could say, prevention.
Yeah.
From making sure like the divorce percentage doesn't go up and it goes down instead.
Yeah. We're pretty much out of time. Thank you so much, Lucas, for sharing your thoughts and your insights. And it's been great. And we'll have you back again on another great topic. Thank you, listeners. Until next time, always be learning and always be growing.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.